A very good morning, Namibia. A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Well, welcome, 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 welcome to your favorite station, Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. It's a Thursday morning. There's only 2 days before we actually say goodbye to February. I like February because it has shorter days. You wish other months have also shorter days like that, you know? So, yeah, 2 days before we say goodbye to February. So it has been an interesting month. So February has been a very interesting month. Yeah, so Thursday morning, a beautiful morning. How is your morning wherever you find yourself in this beautiful, beautiful countries of ours? This country far, the land of the brave. I hope you have a beautiful morning. Most of you are probably at work already, and if you start later, you start late than 8 o'clock. So make sure that you're driving safe to work. Take care of, make sure that you're safe and the people around you and other people who might be, you know, using the same road as you or pedestrian on the road. So yeah. So, yes, or you're at home. How are you going to face the day today? So, yeah, it's a beautiful day, depending on how you take the day. It's all depend on how you see it, okay? So, welcome. It's a beautiful morning, as I said, and it's about 9 minutes past the hour of eight. So, welcome, and we will be with you now until the hour of 10. I'll be with you until the hour of 10. Thank you, David, for crossing, you know, the mic to the big mic from this side of the world. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what really going on in business, economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise, to make sense of the big stories, trends and headline, I mean, and numbers, especially numbers, that are making headlines. So we keep it clear and, sometime a bit little witty here and also always being curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh look or a fresh take on what people are seeing out there. So the views, you shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation, so that you can be part of this, of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. Yeah, this is your platform, to unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the stories. Get to the heart of the story. So good morning. And if you're just joining us, welcome, welcome. You are not late at all. You're not late at all. So you must get into the class. Get into the class. Others are waiting. So at the very beginning of our show, we look at the history, what happened on the continent, on this day in Africa. So, good morning, my African listeners, wherever you may be listening us from. So, and welcome back to your daily trip through the history books. So, it is February 26, and this is on this day in Africa. So, let's start with a major moment from the past that changed the map of our continent forever. Yesterday, we talked about the Berlin Conference yesterday ended. If we rewind all the way back in 1885, on this exact day, it was yesterday, but today, the Berlin Conference, you know, came to an end. Now, this wasn't just a meeting, it was you can call it a turning point. So the European power signed the General Act. That General Act was basically set the rule for how they could claim the African land. Now, So they call it effective occupation. So this kicked off what we now know as the scramble for Africa. So it is the moment. It's a moment colonial borders were drawn, shaping the history of the continent for up to now, and for generations to come. So that's how it started. So let's jump forward to more positive diplomatic moment on this day in 1996, South Africa and Algeria officially restore their diplomatic ties. So this was a big step for the new South Africa, building bridges across the continent just 2 years after the end of apartheid. But we also take a moment to remember a tragedy. It was on this day in 2021 that the world watched in shock as gunmen kidnapped 279 schoolgirls from the secondary school in Jagembe, in Nigeria. So that actually still remains a painful memory for the families and the nation at large. So, and finally, let's send out a birthday wish. You know, born on this day in 1984, it is the Oshitenya Namibia. Do you know who was Oshitenya Namibia? So is the Congolese football legend, you know, Emmanuel Adebayo. Okay, I'm not going to tell you who was actually Pole Atenywa Penny. So, yeah, Emmanuel Adebayo, the former African Footballer of the Year, celebrate his birthday today. So happy birthday, Emmanuel Adebayo. All right, so that's your book, or that is your look at history for this February 26th. So welcome, if you're just joining us. Our time is about 14 minutes past the hour of 8. So we're going to come back after this commercial shortly.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh?
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the you in UNAM is you.
Absolutely. So very good morning and welcome back. And it's a Thursday morning and our time is about 15 minutes past the hour of 8. So we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio, and I'll be with you until 10 o'clock when I will be handing over, go back to the capital, handing over to Tate France, coming with Kuthamosha around 10 o'clock. Make sure that you tune in for that show as well. So what is our thought for the day this morning? Our thought for the day this morning is, when a fool is cursed, you know, when a fool is cursed, he thinks he is being praised. So when a fool is cursed, he thinks he is being praised. Now, the Proverbs means that a person lacking wisdom or self-awareness, it doesn't recognize criticism or insult for what it is. So instead, they misinterpret it as approval or maybe as a praise. So in other words, someone who is foolish or ignorant may be so unaware of their own fault or shortcoming that even when others speak negatively about them, they mistake the negative remark for something positive. So this highlight how a lack of insight can lead to self-deception and inability to see reality as others do. So, when a fool is cursed, he think he is being praised. So, whatever choices and decision you're making today throughout the day, make sure that it doesn't lead to self-deception. So, that's our thought for the day. So, when a fool is cursed, he thinks he is being praised. All right, welcome back. Welcome. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day. You are joining us at the very beginning of the program. So what we can expect today in the show, it's quite fully packed. So I think in a response to conflicting statistics hampering national development, the Namibia Statistic Agency, NSA, in collaboration with the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development, has established the first national baseline on informal settlement. So they have established the first national baseline on informal settlement. This is now to standardize data and also to guide, you know, effective policy. So we're going to look at the report and look at some issues or important aspect, okay, things that are popping out. We're going to look at that report and look at what are the things that are popping out. And I wish lawmakers, this is the report that you should have on your table. You should have it on the table and also maybe be part of this show as well. So we're going to look at what are the aspects, what are the issues that are popping out in terms of this baseline on informal settlements. So that's our main discussion today on the show. And if we have time, something interesting as well is the beers. You know, the beers was once the undisputed king of diamond, okay? Undisputed king of diamond is being now dethroned by lab-grown alternatives that are being made around the world now. So now this has led to a massive $2.3 billion written down by its parent company, that is Anglo American. So definitely that has implication for Namibia. Well, it could be an opportunity where now we can buy the share, or what is going on. So it could have also a large implication or impact on our economy. So we're going to look at that as well if we have time. And if you know, as usual, you're welcome at any time. Your participation will also be part of the show. You are part of the show. Make sure that you come through and have your perspective and your opinion or reaction to the discussions. So we will be back. We'll be back in a second. Stay tuned.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, if you're the only one who have an app, tell your girlfriend, tell your wife, tell your husband, tell your child, you know, tell everyone, you know, tell everyone to download the Eagle FM mobile app. You know, that would do you some good because you don't need to worry about whether you carry around, whether you are in a car to listen to the radio, whatever. You have the phone right in your hand and you can listen to Eagle FM or to your favorite program whenever, wherever. So make sure that you do download that. And for young people, sometimes we have vacancies there, you know, advertised there. So make sure. And for business and economic people, people who love data and report and, you know, this is a place to be. This is a place to be. And it will give much. We have many institutions, well, a report institution or from where am I, you know? So we have a lot of reports from different institutions on that. Sometimes give you a deep understanding of what the company, where the company is and what is going on especially when it comes to economics and business in the country. So make sure that you download that and have it on your phone. It is very, very useful app for you to have. And as I said, for the program, sometimes you don't need, if you're busy, you're not, and you can't be listening at this point in time, you can always go back to the podcast and listen to the whole program, and the whole program as well. So, welcome. So, all right, my dear listeners, welcome to today's episode of Unpacking the Day. So let's do this together. So if there is one thing, okay, if there is one thing that is very, 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 very crucial for smart decision making, for the government, for institution, for any institution, it is having a solid, reliable data. So because otherwise you're flying in blind, I mean, you're flying in, you know, you're flying blind. Okay, anything that you have to do as a company or as a government, let's focus now on the government. You know, you must have a reliable, solid, you know, data, evidence-based. So otherwise you do certain things. Whatever you do is not based on evidence, not based on data. So, and how do you know that you are addressing the right, you know, the right problems for the right people? So, but Namibia had a bit of a problem with that as well. So when it comes to now, we're talking today, when it comes to informal settlements and the housing backlog. For years, we have been stuck with conflicting numbers because of different definitions. You know, NHG has its own, the council has its own, the ministry has its own. There's no consistent way of reporting also when it comes to that. So, and as you can imagine, that create a huge roadblock when it comes now to making effective policies. As I said, when you don't have reliable data, evidence-based, you know, how do you develop? How do you then make effective policies? Or getting resources where they are needed most. So, and that's why I tell you, I love numbers. That's why I keep telling you that I love numbers, because they tell a story. They tell a story. So, but there's a good news. There is a good news. The good news is that Namibia Statistics Agency and the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development have teamed up to tackle this head on. So they teamed up to actually tackle this problem. Now, they have just launched a groundbreaking project to standardize how data is collected and reported across the nation. So the National Baseline Report, they have rolled out or launched. It's actually the first comprehensive look at urban land, the very first comprehensive look at urban land and housing data. So all based on a single clear definition of informal settlement. As I said at the beginning, it was all over. Each one has his own definition of what informal settlement is all about. But now, you know, but now there's a single clear definition of informal settlement, which is actually a good thing. When you look at other countries, South Africa at least have something. When you look at other countries in SADC, Namibia actually coming up with something like this is very good. It's absolutely good because other countries don't have something like that as well. So this report, which comes from data gathered nationwide in the mid of 2025, I think is setting a stage for decision that are backed by real, reliable facts. Okay, so now you can make decision because you know where is the need, you know what is the need, where is the need, who are actually in fact affected by that problem. So, and That's something that some of you have probably have spoken about right up here, you know, especially when it comes to a research sector, research section, whether now it is with NSA, how much is that really supported? How much budget do they get really to be able to do the research? Or whether our department in our higher institutions, higher education institutions, so how many actually budget, how many much of that is actually budgeted for those institutions? Not much, really. And these are the very important, tools that we need. So no wonder why we keep doing the same thing. Eh? No wonder why we're in Senate. We keep doing the same thing, hoping that, you know, it bring a different result. But we're doing it blindly. So I think this is a huge step forward in ensuring that Namibians' urban growth is planned with accuracy, planned with consistency, you know, planned with most and most importantly, action in mind, because now we know where are the needs, we know what is the problem. So yeah. Now stay tuned. We have got really more to unpack on this one. All right? Don't move away. All right. Now, as I said, the National and the Namibian Statistics Agency and the NSA, together with the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development, went out there between June and July of last year and physically assessed settlements across all 57 local authority in this country. So they use one clear definition, one framework, you know, and a set of tools, and one set of tools to gather this information. And what they found is a picture that I think we cannot ignore. It's a picture that we cannot ignore. And this is where I need also the lawmaker to come close, you know, and turn on your radio or your app, open up your, this is a conversation we should have. So we're going to do that after this commercial. Stay tuned.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. Our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 8. We have plenty of time to get into this. We're looking at the Namibian Statistics Agency and together with the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development, they went out in June and July of last year and physically assessed settlement across all 57 localities in this country. So now, out of 563 urban settlements, assessed across this country, across municipalities, towns, and even in the villages, so 419 of them, that is 74.4%, are classified as informal settlements. So 74.4% are classified as informal settlement. Now, let me emphasize that now. So nearly three out of every four urban settlements in Namibia, nearly three out of every four urban settlements in Namibia are informal. So, and these are settlements that are not declared, not properly planned, not legally recognized in our national land registries. So, three out of four urban settlements in Namibia are informal settlement. Now, we're not talking about, one thing should be clear. We're not talking about few shacks on the edge of town here and there. So we're not talking about this. We are talking about entire communities, hundreds of thousands of Namibians. We're talking about like Havana informal settlement. Do you understand? This is your neighborhood. This is your relatives we're talking about. This is your colleagues. That who is not, maybe you are even from Havana. Maybe you are from Ombili. Maybe we are from Ombwa Aliatotina. Eh? The dog stepped on a $10 note location. Eh? So that's the name of the location, Ombwa Aliatotina. Eh? The dog stepped on $10 note. Eh? So no, maybe we talk about your colleagues living in settlements that do not officially exist on paper. On paper, you don't exist, eh? And where are most of these informal settlements? According to this report that has been just launched, of course, you know, you can take a big guess. You can take a guess. You know, of course, Commerce Region top the list with 150 informal settlement. So when we're talking about 150, we're talking like Ombili, Havana, you know, Oshitenda. Those are settlements. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about houses. Okay. Don't think about that. Okay. This is a shack there, a shack there. No, 150. No, we're talking about communities, hundreds of thousands of Namibian living in those communities. Okay. So, and that is about 35.8% of the national total. So, Commerce actually took up the big junk. It's right in the capital, in the seat of government, in the richest region in the country by economic output. So, yeah, if it's happening there, yeah, if this is happening, think about that moment. Think about that for that moment. Now, think about that. Okay? So then you are, what if it's happening there? So what about other region? And then you have the Otoljanjupa, Oshana, Hardap, and Kunene, all contributing significantly to the national figure. All right. So now here is where it's getting really, I would say, a bit serious. And I need you to stay with me here. All right. Let's get into the real crisis now. Now, it is one thing, okay? It is one thing to live in an informal settlement. It's one thing to live in an informal settlement. Namibians are really resilient. We as Namibians are very, very, very resilient. And we know that. So we know that. But when we talk about bulk services. Now, the fundamental infrastructure that keeps human being healthy and dignified. The number in this report should make you, as I said, they should actually make every policymakers, in this country, you know, worried. Okay? And as I said, you must have this report on your desk. Make sure that you go and look for it now. If you're listening, get it. Ask you whoever your secretary is and what. Let me get that report. All right? So only, okay, let's get into this. Only 23%, only 23.9% of informal settlement have water supply fully implemented. This is not my saying. This is a report from NSA and the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development, okay? So only 23.9% of informal settlement have water supply fully implemented. That means roughly 3/4 of informal settlements across this country do not have adequate formal water infrastructure. I know how to read numbers, but I wasn't good at math. So that means 3/4 of informal settlements across this whole country do not have inadequate, do not have adequate formal water water infrastructure. Now, and the sewage? And the sewage? Only 10.5%, only 10.5% have sewer system in place. 10.5%. Electricity? Just to give you some, just 22.2%. 22.2%. And when it comes to road, and roads, barely believable, you know, 6.2%. So we're talking about informal settlements here. 6.2% when it comes to road. Now, my friends, in 2026, in a country celebrating over 3 decades of independence, in 2026, and we just celebrated, no, we're going to celebrate, you know, oh, we're not in March yet. We're going to celebrate how many years of independence? We're having informal settlement where there's no roads, no toilets, no lights, no running water. That's what the report says. It's not me. I'm just relating this to you. Okay, maybe you don't get a time to read it or even get it. So we bring it to you before it's going to put on the shelf. Okay, before they put it on the shelf and you don't ever, and you hear nothing about it again, and then money will be spent again to come up with some data again some years. Okay, we're bringing it to you. So this is the reality in our informal settlement. No toilets, no roads, no lights, no running water. So now think about sometimes when we, and this is something that we, and something you and I probably not really taking it, how would I put it that now think about what this mean in really human terms. This is what I want to say. You know, think about it in really human terms. Think about Havana informal settlement in Windhoek, certain area that have electricity and others, some area don't, but there are other that have come up again. So think of Havana. Let's just think about Havana informal settlement in Windhoek. Thousands of families, children, walking to communal water. Walking to communal water taps, no sewage system, the risk of disease always present. Maybe in Havana they do. There could be others that have just you know, sprang up. Now think about similar condition replicated in Oshakati, in Rundu, in Kiertmanshoop, you know, anywhere in this country. The report tells us that over 44% of informal settlement rely only on communal taps. 44% of informal settlement rely on communal tap. And 38% have no recorded water facility at all. None. Zero. Nada. 38%. Now, let me ask you something. Okay? And I really want you to think this deeply. And I want you to really think about this. Now, if you woke up tomorrow morning, if you woke up tomorrow morning and there's no water tap, no toilet, no electricity in your home, how long would you last? How long would you last? We just because these things are available to us, we don't think that there are Namibians there that go through this every day. No water tap, no tap water, no toilet, no electricity in their home, you know, and they have to go a distance. Oli ne macho uri kushimba, mara natango hafa tokate komi yanga shuri kwamba. Ila uri somewhere else, tokate komi ya. No, I'm asking you now, because sometimes we don't really take this, because you don't experience on a daily basis. How long you would last, actually? I don't even, sometimes electricity is gone for 2 hours or 3 hours, and your life, it looks as if it's come to an end. It has just come to an end, to an end, just for 2 or 3 hours. If it's a whole day, then you're out of your mind. Now imagine, fellow Namibian, and you think that maybe they deserve to be in there, in that situation? We're talking even about toilets. Toilets. T-O-I-L-E-T. Toilets. Maybe even electricity is a luxury. We're talking about toilets. We're talking about water. And I can tell you, my friend, that's actually a daily reality for hundreds of thousands of our fellow Namibians, if you don't know. So this is a good report. It's a really, really a good baseline. That's a daily reality, my friend, of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of our fellow Namibians. And you are also called. When you read this, you are called to do something. There's something that you can do. You could be sitting in the offices where these things, you know, every one of us has something to do. Well, I'm creating that consciousness, you know, to understand where we are. The report comes out, you know, you might not even hear this. That's what we're trying to do here. Now, there are a couple of issues. There are a couple of things that I want us to highlight in there. The other thing is also who really owns the land, the land tenure puzzles. So now let us shift a little bit gears. Let's shift the gears slightly. So because there's another layer to this story that does not really get enough attention. So, and it is the question of land tenure. Okay. Who has the legal right to be on the land they are living on now? Okay, the informal settlements, who have actually the legal right to be on the land they are living on. So the report shows that 98.3% of the land where the informal settlement sits is owned by the local authorities. The municipalities, the town councils, they own the ground. So that's why sometimes they come to you and said, okay, you take off your property, the land belongs to the municipality. So the people living there, if you live in Havana or any other of the settlements, you're just a guest, my friend. Technically, you're just a guest. You don't own the land. You're just a guest. They can remove you anytime. That's why we talk about the land tenure. Now, but there is something interesting, okay? The report tells us that only 33.9% of informal settlement residents have what is called certificate of occupancy. So the certificate of occupancy. Now, this is important, okay? It's important that, in a way, because a certificate of occupancy is not a full ownership, all right? It's not a full ownership. It is not a title deed. So it is a... how would I say, a lower form of tenure, you know, it's a lower form of tenure. Think of it as a conditional permission to occupy. So it's more like a conditional permission to occupy. So, but the problem is this, it is better than nothing. if you have that certificate of occupation, it's better than when you don't have anything. So at least the municipality noticed that you are occupying this structure, you understand? Rather than when you don't have anything, it's kind of like, yes, you are illegal here, but we know that you're occupying this infrastructure. Yeah, so it's a conditional permission to occupy. So it's better than when you have absolutely nothing, because they will tell you, hey, you are illegal. You need to move. That's why sometimes they come remove. We haven't given you a permission to occupy. So, as I said, it's better than nothing, but it is far from security. That's the issue. It is far from security. So, in Windhoek alone, 88.7% of certificates of occupancy are held in the city, meaning that the rest of the country is even further behind. Now, why does 10-year security matter so much? Why does it matter really? Okay, why does it matter? Because now, without security of tenure, you know, people will not invest in, you won't be able to invest in improving your home. You know, remember the certificate of occupancy is just a permission to occupy. So you will not invest in the place where you live, in your home. And even bank will not lend you money. They won't lend you money because you don't have title deed. So this is very, 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 very important. Eh? So the 10-year security, the security of 10-year is very, very, very important. On top of that, now, even the government has less incentive to upgrade those settlements with proper infrastructure. So it becomes, you know, and this is exactly what it is. It becomes a vicious circle. No right, no investment, no improvement. So you have no right to be here, and therefore the government, do you follow? Because you have no right to be there, the government doesn't feel that it's obligated. So it's kind of like obliged to develop the place, because you are, in the first place, you were illegal here. That's the reasoning of the government, also improving some of those settlements, because you are illegal here. How would I now kind of legitimate your occupation, which is actually legal, by bringing you service? Do you understand? As I said, and that's why we have that vicious circle. No rights, because you have no right to be here. No investment, the government, the whatever, will not invest, you know, in there. And of course, that's why you stay with that kind of no improvement. No improvement at all. All right? Now, you see the vicious circle? So then we have also something called the Flexible Land Tenure Act. Okay? That's the act that we have for years. This act has been on the books for years in Namibia. Now, it was designed specifically to give informal settlement residents. So to give informal settlement residents a legal foothold on the land they live on. But the rollout has been, you know, painfully, painfully slow, like anything else anyway. All right? So it has been really, really, really painful. So that's the act maybe that we can appeal. And as I said, the lawmakers, we kind of like lawmakers just wake up when sometime the media or something like that blows something. It's when everybody wakes up. But they are not out there looking at how do we make things better for this section of people. Well, ask yourself this. If we have the law and we know the problems, why are we still moving at the pace of a tortoise? Why are we moving at the pace of a tortoise? So remember what I said. Remember what I said, that the government also legitimately thinks like, you have no right to be there. Why would I develop it? Which technically, they're right. The government is right, or municipality is right, or whatever the case may be. You understand? Technically, and that's what we need to deal with. Eh? Because if you follow the Flexible Land Tenure Act, is supposed to legal, and this is a legal foothold on the land now, they live on. Yeah. But as I said, the rollout, as everything else in this country, is so slow. Is so slow. Painfully slow. All right? Now, think about that. Now, there's also a whole question of, in the report, there was also a question of congestion and planning. Congestion and planning. Here is another, and I think this is another puzzle. The report reveals that 60.4% of informal settlements are still congested. 60.4% of informal settlements are still congested, overcrowded, people packed. You know, people are packed in, no room to move, no room to grow. So they are packed in. So Windhoek represents the highest number of congested informal settlements nationally. So, of course, what do you expect from Windhoek? And now here's the paradox that really caught my eye. All right. While Windhoek has the highest number of planned informal settlement, meaning at least some basic town, you know, at least some basic town planning has been done. So when you have now the highest number of planned informal settlement, that means there has been some basic town planning done. All right. So the city also records the highest number of unplanned settlement at the same time. So what it means is that we are planning at the same time, not keeping up with the growth. You understand? We are planning, and at the same time, we are not actually keeping up with the growth. And that actually tells you everything you need to know about the pace of rural urban migration in this country. That's clear out there. That's very, very clear. So people are moving to cities faster than any council actually can plan for them. We're not planning for these people who are moving to the city. Windhoek population has nearly doubled from just over 325,000 in 2011 to an estimate of 520,000 today. So over a half million. So more people are coming in, and not enough formal housing to absorb them. There's not enough houses. And the result, what do you expect? More sheikhs, as we can see, more informal settlement, and more people without services. Do you see the circle? So we are not ready. Our towns, our councils are not ready for the people that are actually flocking to the towns. Not ready at all. Not ready, not prepared. So, and of course, as I said, you'll see the result. More shacks, more informal settlement, more people without services. Now, and if you put this into a broader context, now, think about it now in a broader context. Namibia has, we have a housing backlog of approximately 300,000 units. The National Housing Enterprises has said it would need, now that's energy, has said it would need actually about, it would need 76 billion to close that gap. How did we, this has been completely being neglected. That's an area that has been neglected. Provision of how, housing provision, has been an area that has been neglected. How did it come that we need needing 76 billion now to close that gap? 76 billion, that is more than our entire national budget for multiple years combined. And that's what we're needing actually to close that gap. Where does that money come from? Where would that money come from? And while we figure that out, while we now figure that out, what happened to the people who are waiting? That's why you have, you know, thousand and thousand people put on the waiting list for years and years and years. Well, I'm just throwing questions there. I'm just throwing questions to you. You tell us. I'm gonna throw some question. Let me throw some question at you, because I believe this country needs to have an honest, straight conversation about what we are seeing. We need to really, really to have a straight conversation of what we are seeing right now. So now my first question, 35 years after independence, why are we only now in 2026 getting a baseline report on informal settlement? Why now? What does that say about our commitment to data-driven governance? It is in one of the NDP. It is one of the committed to a data-driven governance. So that means we were governing blind all this time. We were governing blind all this time. So that's one. The second one is 98% of the land where informal settlements sit belongs to the local authorities. That means council knows where these settlements are. They own the land. So why have only 10% of them been given proper sewage system, for example? Is this a resource problem? Now we have now to think, is this a resource problem or is it a political priority problem? Which one is it? Is it a resource problem or is it a political priority problem? So because during the election, this is where we go to. This is where we go to. And where else can we go? Because this is where now the people, as we said, as we have seen, that this is where there's no electricity, where there's no water, this is where there's no, you know, sewage systems. So that's where we go to. And said, this time, we're going to change that. You can't go to Klein Vittuk. You can't go to Ausblick. What are you going to talk about? So, now, question three. These are just things that I want you to think about. All right? So, Windhoek has 150 informal settlement. Let's talk about Windhoek. More than any other region in the country. So we have the richest rate base. You have the richest base in Windhoek. I mean, Windhoek have the richest base, richest rate base in Windhoek. So we have, it's the most capable. The capacity is in Windhoek. Yet, 60% of our informal settlements are congested. You know, that's in Windhoek. And thousands have no proper services. So what exactly are we doing with council budget? Where does our council budget go? What is exactly we're doing with the council budget? Where does it go? Looking at some of this data, you wonder exactly where does the council money go? Now, let's go to question four. I said I have some question for you. You can jump into any one of this later on when I open up my line. Now, this one is perhaps the most personal. All right? When we talk about informal settlements, who are we actually talking about? You know, we are talking about nurses. We are talking about teachers, my friend. We are talking about police. We are talking about security guard. We're talking about vendors. So the people who keep this economy running? This is the people we're talking about. It's the people who keep this economy running. People who have been failed by a system that cannot build houses fast enough. And should we not be angry about that? Should we not be angry about that? So, now, I don't want to leave you know, I don't want to leave you entirely in the dark, okay? So there's also silver lining here, okay, from the report. It is an important one, okay? The fact that this report exists in itself is a progress, okay? So the fact that this report exists is itself a progress, really. I think, as I said, when I went to look at other countries as well, in a SADC, but not many. Besides South Africa, not many have actually information, data-driven when it comes to this. So for the first time, Namibia has, we have a standardized, nationally accepted definition of informal settlement. So for the first time, so we have a baseline data that can be updated, that can be compared and used to measure progress over time. So we have something that now we can be able to measure. So the NSA and the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development are committing, according to the reporters, are committing to regular reporting in this area. So something that we, that's very important. And that matters. It matters. You cannot, because you cannot fix what you cannot measure. You cannot fix what you cannot measure. Now, at last, we are measuring. Okay? At last, we are measuring. So, the Erongo region, for example, stand out in the report. All informal settlements listed in 6 local authorities, they have been surveyed. So that is the kind of, I think, the kind of a systematic approach that the rest of the country actually should replicate. That's the kind of, as I said, the approach that should be replicated to the rest of the country. So, and there is a broader national commitment, at least on paper. This also, as you can see, the ministry is involved. There's money, there's budget put into this to do the surveys and all that, to do the findings, to the studies. So the government's, you know, there's that kind of commitment, at least, you know, you can see that commitment. The government 6 national developing plan has housing and urban land as a priority. So on paper, as I said, at least on paper, it is a priority. All right. So the Flexible Land Tenure Act, is slowly expanding to more towns and cities. So there is a political will. I think there is some kind of a political will, but the question is whether it is, whether it translates into action fast enough. That's the problem. Is it translated into action fast enough? All right. So I'm waiting for you. What is your take? What do you think about this whole baseline? 08-08-333-6609 is the number to call if you want to react on our first story, on our first discussions. So what is your perspective? What is your, what do you think? How do you see this? You know, 08-333-6091. You are welcome.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongoti samwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandi toma yoe, yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onara heta tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oniaji. Eagle FM, go high.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. And if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM and you are tuned in to Unpacking the Day. And what is our key takeaway from our discussion this morning? Number one, 74.4% of Namibian assessed urban settlements are informal. 74%. So that is not a fringe issue. It's not a fringe issue. It's an issue that really requires an immediate attention. So that is the dominant reality of urban life. So in this country. And number two, when it comes to the bulk services, it's a crisis. It's a severe crisis. Less than one in four formal settlements have proper water supply. Only one in ten have sewage. You know, this is a public health emergency. It's a public health emergency in slow motion, in a very, very slow motion. Okay? So, number three, land tenure. We talked about land tenure, insecurity. I think, honestly, this is something that I would want lawmakers really to pay attention to. And really get into this, because land tenure insecurity traps people. It traps people in poverty. Without the right to your land, you cannot build, you cannot borrow, or plan for the future. You understand? You can't do now. You can't do anything. When you have no right to your land, there is nothing you can. You cannot be able to build. You cannot be able to borrow money to be able to do anything, to bring up to any infrastructure. You cannot plan for the future because you don't know. You might be removed. And the flexible Land Tenure Act must be accelerated urgently. It must be accelerated, and that's where I said we need our lawmakers to really do something. Number four, what we can take away from our discussion is that Windhoek is the epicenter, but this is a national problem. From Runtu to Luderitz, from Ondangwa here to Kiertmanshoop. So informal settlements are everywhere, and most of them are severely underserved. They are underserved. They are underserviced, not underserved. They are underserviced. They lack proper services. So, and that come out now. That's come out of the data. That's what the data is showing us. So, number five. The housing backlog of 300,000. Let me remind you of that. 300,000 units and a price tag of 76 billion to close the gap. This is not just statistic. It's not just statistic. It is a generational challenge that requires partnership. As I said, it's a generational challenge. it's not something that you'll be solving in now in 5 years. There was something that actually there is something in the NDP 6, and the way how it is that how that is actually teased out, or how does it, that's not the right word, you know, explained. We haven't even reached what we said we're going to reach in the year. How many houses that we're going to be building? Not even a quarter or half of what we promised. Sometimes, yeah. Putting up a paper, it's one thing on the paper, it's another that you're doing it. That's why I said this 300,000 unit and a price tag of 76 billion, it is a generational challenge. Yeah? It's a generational challenge that then require a lot of other things. It require partnership. It require partnership now with the government, private sectors, civil society, community working together. So it does really, and it's possible. It is possible. It can be done. Yeah? So it can be done. And finally, this report is not maybe don't look at it as a crisis report. No, it's not a crisis document, all right? It's actually a starting point. For me, I'm looking at it as a starting point. The real question is, what do we do with this information? Eh? What do we do with this information? Before we know it, it's actually parked somewhere on the shelf, and you don't hear anything at all about it anymore. Until 5 years, until in 2030, when we come up with another, you know, finding and things like that. And we haven't done anything from what we have found previously. So that's our approach. That's the Namibian approach. Have information, park them on shelf somewhere, gathering dust. It's okay. Let's just go blindly. All right. We have been doing this for 35 years. You know, let's just do that. I think it works better for us, isn't it? Yeah, it does. Yeah. Yeah. So, and this belongs to all of us. You know, what do we do with this information? What do we do? Well, this is Unpacking the Day, and I'm your host. We will be right back after this break. And I want to hear from you, okay? You must get in now, come through. You know, tell us, does this report change how you see your neighborhood? Yeah? Does it change how you see your neighborhood, your city, or your country? 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So you may come through.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshi wana. Iye moya o, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe, yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konara hita tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, and we're looking at this baseline, that was launched by the NSA and the Ministry of Urban and rural development. So the real crisis I'm really looking at, the real crisis out of this report is the bulk, you know, services. You know, I think the fundamental, as I always say, the fundamental infrastructure that keep, you know, human being healthy and dignified. And I said, the report in this, the numbers in this report should really make policymakers worried, and they should be worried in this country. So we're talking about 23%, 23.9% of informal settlement have water supply fully implemented, only 23%, you know. So that means roughly three quarter of informal settlement across this country do not have adequate, you know, formal water infrastructure. So when it comes to sewage, only 10.5% have sewage system in place. 10, you know. Electricity, the same, just 22.2%. So when you also look at the road infrastructure, you know, it's about 6.2%. And my question was, look, where are we? We are in 2026. We are in 2026. Yeah? We are about to celebrate how many years? Celebrating over three decades, my friend, of independence. So we have informal settlement where there is no roads, you know, no toilets, no lights, and no running water. So what is your take? 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So do come through and have your take of this important report. All right. So as I said, in itself, the report itself is actually a progress. It is a progress. It's giving us it for the first time. Namibia has now a standardized, national accepted definition of informal settlement, and also for the first time, we have a baseline data that can be updated, that can be compared, and can be used to measure progress over time. So that's the. The very good things that we should be really looking at that in that way. So, yeah, as I said, this is not a crisis report. It's not a crisis report. It should be something, okay? It should be, it's not a crisis document. It is a starting point, you know? So, and I said, the real question is not, it's not the report itself. It's what do we do with this information, okay? So 08333-66091, do come through and have your reaction to our first story. Otherwise, we're moving forward. We are moving forward. And when we come back, so we're going to look at De Beers, lab-grown diamonds, and all what it means for Namibia. All right. Igdefem, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good.
Hmm.
So those are your questions now. Where does the money come from, going to come from?
The 76 billion to actually close up the gap of housing unit of 300,000. Do you know where is your, what is your budget a year, your national budget? How much is it?
Yeah, so that is now for the period of how many years?
Well, that's a backlog. Do you know what a backlog is?
Yeah, behind.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So now you unless you're saying we have to replan, you understand? You are at the backlog, and that's the amount. That's the amount that you need to close the gap.
Maybe the reason why we are behind is because of that money now that it has to be sourced or to be mobilized. Perhaps it brought the bad luck.
But what is the strategy to mobilize that? What give you confidence to say we are in the process of actually mobilizing that and being able to address this?
Because you mentioned about the corrective concerted efforts there.
Yeah.
That can be mobilized as well.
Yeah, that's why I said it can be done. It can be done, but we need to see what is the strategy moving forward.
Yeah, they might have put a strategy there or possible solution to that type. But then if we know that everybody is now called to action in that area.
When you're saying that, Uncle Bona, when you're saying that, say, for example, of something, let's say, for example, as you move on, things becoming worse than better, you know, or in that area. There are other things that are better, but I'm just saying in that area. So if this year, instead of like, we could have improved, but actually get worse, let's say, for example, unemployment. So instead of now reducing unemployment, we're still increasing. Would you confidently saying, well, things are getting better, or there is a strategy from now, from those evidence? And the good thing about having data like this, they're telling you what is happening. But ignoring it and just saying, oh, well, maybe things are going well, maybe there is something, it doesn't help.
Yeah, you know, data also has to be disaggregated. So maybe, I don't know whether you use the step disaggregated tool so that you can then now explain what those figures represent and how you will then go around to ensure that, yes, these are the strategies. Maybe there are many strategies like that people are using, especially when they come to housing and things like that, which might not have been working well. So the other one is like PPP, not triple P.
Yeah.
And many other things. And I think the other one that Mr. Fuda was talking about, and maybe to also creeping in the budget today. And if they can use some of those vehicles to get to that solving of that problem.
Yeah.
Like using the PPP and also this bank. What is it, this type of bank that they also have a strategy that they are working with this tech dweller for them to mobilize for the resources and your financial or human resources.
Yeah. Let me give you an example. Let's say, for example, we have youth unemployment, and then we can see the government decided, okay, we have youth unemployment. Let's actually have the youth, let's have the youth, what is that? Let they have the youth fund, okay? And we can now see, even if it's not much, you understand? Even if not many youth have been taken up. Now, practically, we can see someone addressing that problem with something, you understand?
But there are areas
where we have now, Uncle Bana, where we really have, you and I, we need to sit and say, no, something need to be done here. So we cannot just say, okay, maybe there's something that is happening. No,
I read the initiative by Prime Minister Dr. Ngurare on issues of housing and issues of what? The initiative that he just came up with.
Initiative initiative of a paper, you know, as we say, as we know, we have a lot of other initiatives. I'm asking you, what I'm trying to do.
Also, please.
Eh?
Can I explain? I'm not even finished explaining about that initiative.
Yeah.
How the youth will be incorporated there. And you have already come in, so I haven't explained. I'm just ask you whether you have heard or have read.
I have.
So you think that one will not work to also reduce the bad luck?
Do you know what is in Harambe prosperity plan?
Why are you not implementing those prosperity plans? I mean, Harambe 2 or Harambe 1.
Exactly. That's the question. That's the question now. That's what we're talking about. To say there are plans, there are initiatives. Why have they are not being implemented?
They are implementing it now. That's why the Dr. Ngurali is also talking about that initiative that should be implemented. And people should now search local material to deal with those issues. I'm just saying that could it be, maybe it's one of the viable strategies that can also assist. I'm just saying.
No, one thing that I'm trying to make here is that it's sometime where we downplay what other people are going through. When we're talking that there are a lot of people who have only one tap in that community, as it now indicated in the report here. And we kind of say, no, these things are happening better. There are people who are waking up. Just hold on. There are people who are waking up. No toilet. You know, you wake up, you have a toilet, you have a tap running, you have all that. There are people waking up.
I'm living in the informal settlement. So
exactly. Anyway, exactly.
I know what I'm talking about. I'm not downplaying the situation there. All I'm saying is that there are also avenues which can also be exploited, you understand, to deal with those issues.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the avenue that I'm talking about are more viable than the one that you are talking about. And I'm neither downplaying the situation. Not at all.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is that there are those initiatives that, like the Prime Minister has said, and if it can be utilized, it can also contribute.
No, I agree with you. I'm not. What I'm asking is that how do we then translate it into practical things that are helping people? Because we don't see that in some area, you know? That's the question, and that's what I'm asking you and I to push.
Yeah, translate that one through that those vehicles that I have just suggested and that are there that I have not spoken about and that many people might also come to suggest. Once you do that now, because we are told the coordination of those activities will now lie on the municipality, the local government, the rural community, and ourselves, and maybe the financial institutions, like you are saying, it requires corrective efforts.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things that I'm saying, but nobody's downplaying that thing. Maybe it's you who is going to put the thing word in my mouth now.
All right. That's a commercial coming up.
I'm done.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai etetla weda ko ombunikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare no matha ko murungu wa indu werirongere kusha umune ondengu okura ko imba una ovyune vya peke ko gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe to kwika ovinki no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yokuyanja oshimariva o peresente dano kumyeve vitatu moshimariva o peresente umurongo kumyeve hambu umwe moshimariva o peresente umirongo ivari na dano Kumiyeve mulongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu, chima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyano kife. Ashiesho imba, yekupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba, o maoronga neno uyeru haka enina, itako na wina rishangita jinon.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Okay, welcome back. And our time is about 31 minutes past the hour of 9. Let's get to the caller. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Big Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself, man?
I'm all right, my friend. I can notice. Oh, we are in the air already.
Yeah, no, we are in the air. We are in the air, yeah.
Oh, the commercial is done.
It's done, yeah.
Oh, sorry, okay.
Yeah.
You know, when I talk about housing problem in Namibia,
yeah,
people don't think serious.
Yeah.
And because you remember, we are kind of two categories. They are homeless who are living in the street.
Mm.
They are homeless who are lending. And it's those funny homeless.
Yeah.
Who can even afford to buy a foil machine.
Yeah.
But still lending.
The ILO, and call them the like teachers and nurses and those who fall in that, the educated poor, you know?
the educated poor,
you know?
Exactly. You see me? And the thing is that when you have these two categories, and some people, they feel like you know that a person who's lending and the one who's having a kabasu, which one is more on the safe side?
No, the one having a kabasu, if you have your kabasu in your own place, in your own land,
you can even leave it for the... Because we don't know how long is the government going to take place to develop those places. Yeah. You're getting the inherited even that is a place of which you are own.
Okay. So I had a friend of mine. It's those guys who love a good life. You understand? So for years he has been really working for good companies and they pay well. And what he has done, he has been renting always in a very nice place. And one day I told him, my friend, sometimes you can even just be able to go and build your kamashu and work from there and slowly building up your house, you know?
Mm.
And later, I haven't seen him for a couple of years. Then the next time I met him and said, well, life get tough, my friend. And what happened? I exactly did what you told me. And now I really have peace of mind. I have a property of my own, which I'm developing. And I can just imagine if I had started long time ago, you know,
Mike, to cut you shortly, you know what is the same thing you always be advocating that the municipality is supposed to do, or the politician?
Yeah.
What is they supposed to see to do is to give us a title deed. Once you give me a title deed, my friend, we are getting bricks from the what? Dump site.
Yeah, we can make our own brick.
If I build that place with those bricks that I'm getting from dump site, I cover it up with a, then I paint it. It will be like just the same structure like the one you find in the green cookie.
Yeah,
nothing. You can see, not tell me these bricks are from dump site or, because there's no difference.
But the other thing is also, I can tell you, if you can use these people, they can actually transform their own place. If you say, this is your plot, okay, each one will give them their plot. This is your own, this is your title deed, and all that. Now, guys, they will because the water is coming to them. Eh?
My car.
So, and that will take...
The thing is that the people they are saying we people who are living in the kabasu, we are stupid or something.
Yeah.
But we are more saving than they are the one who are lending.
Yeah.
Because if you go to the place where we live, Korea Hub, it's services. Mm. They already those drainage are there. Yeah. But the problem of municipality, they don't want to give us that or deed because they don't want everybody to have his own place.
Yeah.
This is what is going on. Like Havana, Goriahab, you talk about even Nombili.
Yeah.
There's a drainage already. It's already elected there. There's we even leave a space for what? For truck to move around for fire what? Fire.
Firefighters,
firefighters. They are moving in.
Mm. There's a the fire station.
Because some of the community, what you call these community leaders, they know how to domesticate even the people already.
Mm.
But if you are given a title of this, my friend, we're supposed to build our place already.
Yeah, definitely.
But the problem, we get a recognition letter which can tell you anytime you can be removed.
And I can tell you to say to develop that area, believe me, you can just use the people of the. You don't need even a tender of a company. Yeah? You just use the very same people that are in that area to build up to clean up their area. They will do it. Yeah? They will do it in 2 to 3 years. It's finished.
Not even 6 months.
Yeah.
Within 6 months, we already done. We can do that.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, Mike, the problem which we have here is individual who also like to downplay. Like where it's like the way they are seeing us, we are so much poor.
Yeah.
But they don't realize that, you know, we are even a millionaire who are living in the Kapashus.
Of course.
I'm telling you. But you find it even, the problem with those people, the way they live. Sometimes we look, we used to go there, then we live in the person in the fridge, there's nothing. You find the water in the cupboard for the last month. But this person is ordering even like a what? A pizza of 500. At the end of the day, just 2 or 3 days, is going to call you to ask even a full money on you. That way. You see?
Yeah.
But we get passed by because our gas cylinder.
Yeah.
It will even take like almost 2 months.
Yeah.
To be filled it up again.
Mm.
And what I saw from the poor people is the one who are lending is that they don't even want to use a gas stove. But yeah. Go to our break. I'm telling you how many households I put a gas stove there.
No, the thing is this. The thing is that people don't have houses because they cannot afford to build houses by themselves. It's just they cannot. You create a system where now you have developers, you know, and you inflated, you know, everything so that it becomes more expensive for people to. But if you give them the land and they say, look now, make sure I'm giving you 5 years. Within 5 years, make sure that you actually have built a certain structure, maybe a brick structure. They will, I can tell you, people will be able to build.
Friend, because the moment you even put a condition, maybe like, okay, if you don't do it, I'll revoke it to give it to somebody.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, people, they will do it.
They will.
I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. Even this housing we did build the last time for municipality, 1 bedroom, you can see the people who extended.
Yeah.
To put it there. Yeah, but I'm telling you why you cannot do that to everybody. Why so slow?
Yeah, give people the land. Yeah. Give the land to people. And they will find a way to create their own wealth, you know?
This is what I'm telling you, Mike. Mike, the problem is our politicians, they think we are just a tool to be used by election. But we are more than that. We understand how we can go.
Yeah.
That's why you see a turn up when it comes to election, it's always just reduced. Every year, people are going, they give up.
Yeah.
What do you think, why only the election, the last election, you find only 2 people of vote?
Yeah.
At the point.
People are getting tired to be tools. You're just tools to be used, and you know.
That is not applying for democracy anymore when you're having 2 people are turning up. It is a certain point.
Yeah.
It doesn't give, it's what I'm saying. This doesn't give good impression. Well, even you claim you are to be a leader, but you are being voted by 2 people. What does it tell you? Where's the whole community? Why they are not interested in to vote you?
Yeah.
Why do you think they are staying away from you? I'm telling you, it's what is happening in the local authority and the regional council election. People of 4 people, some are even 10. Just imagine even like a place like Korea happened. They're getting only 1,000 something or 2,000 something. But it's full of a lot of people. People are passing by, they don't care. It's like they're enjoying that holiday for them not to go for work.
Yeah.
But they are not going to vote because they give up. They don't trust your system anymore.
Yeah.
But seriously, I think there is something in our opportunity they need to do.
Even
that of it to the people they build themselves.
Exactly.
That's the only way.
Exactly.
But if you are telling them to services, I mean, you are waiting for services and what you are waiting for property developer. No way. That's the problem we are creating. And now, things are getting out of hand because the backlog is too much. I mean, you've been in a waiting list for 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying, where are you going to get money of 70 or 76 billion, you know?
Hey, where
are you going to get that money? And you have a 300,000 unit backlog of houses. So, first of all, your budget, your national budget is not even as much as that, you know?
Exactly. So,
Where are you going to get that money, you know?
No, I'm always saying, I like to give advice, I suggest it to our people, especially the one listening, community leaders and so on. I'm saying, look, we have a lot of mundane in the window.
Yeah.
What about we even starting about like to install solar panel and wind power? Because the higher you go, the more wind.
Yeah.
Yeah, wind power, then we generate the electricity for those locations.
Yeah.
Instead of relying to electricity which comes from
That's exactly the same thing in Zimbabwe. So that's the same thing in Zimbabwe. You know?
Yeah, and Zambia.
So much of the informal settlements are actually solarized. You know, their power comes from solar.
Because what we are going to use for that, Mike?
Yeah.
What we are going to use only for us, maybe for TV and the writing, and the other one we are using for gas. What we is that because it's what we used to use.
Yeah.
We are not going to move from gas to electricity because we know electricity is very expensive.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this thing of cabas burning every day is supposed to be a thing of past because we have the solar panel and the wind power. Yeah. Anyway, Mike.
All right, man.
Maybe somebody will come through.
Okay, now thanks for coming through. Yeah.
All right.
Mm. All right, 08333-66091, 08333-66091, if you want to, you know, have your contribution right here. Okay, let's move on. But you can also come through. You can come back. You can come through on our first topic. But we're moving forward. All right, there are also other... I still have about how many... 16 minutes, quite a lot. All right, so there's another story that actually hit closer to home. Very, very close. Now, let's just imagine this, okay? The year is 2026. The beer is the diamond giant that has shaped our country's destiny for decades, you know, just wrote down its own value by $2.3 billion. That is roughly $41 billion gone, poof, you know, and vanished from the books. Okay, let's get to the caller quickly. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bon dia, familia.
Ah, como está, man?
Obrigado, como está ali?
Ah, não tem problema.
Ah, tudo bom. I like this topic, you know, when you come you come with this, up with this topic.
Yeah.
You know how many people are really carefully listening to you, what are you bringing on?
Yeah.
This is a sensitive topic. Now, really, in this issue of the houses, something's not been done well. You know, you say, let me work and eat nice.
Yeah.
Now we must change it now. Say, let me eat so I can go and work nice.
Yeah.
You know, these things of, I think last year there was in the newspapers, 500 what for the poor. Nothing was been done.
Exactly.
Nothing has been done.
Yeah.
So what is wrong? What is the problem? Until how long? You know, I feel pain when I saw an old person in the locations. When I was younger, when I came there, they were there and they get older. They leave their kids in the ghetto. They go to the north because they are on an impatient system. and these kids are still in the same situation, until when we're going to live like this? No. Really, they need really to come up with this statistic which show up the reality of our
the thing is this, ne? Sometimes and sometimes there's a time to play politics, and sometimes there's a time to be realistic. We have data that shows what is the problem, we can always say, look, we were over ambition that we would be able to do this much, but let's start over. Let's start over based on the evidence that we have. And we must see a progress, like, okay, this year, we have seen that they are building in Ombili, all right? About 500 houses, okay? There is some progress. Now, then we have seen that there are people in Havana who actually receive their title deeds, you know? So we must see something that is happening. Even if it's slow, we can see that there's a progress, you know?
Even though they are already giving you 150 meters, small house, man. Like, you know, that meters, I think, is the size of their garage where their cars, they can park their car.
Yeah.
It's the house they are giving you for you to live. All of these years, you are struggling. You don't have electricity. Then, as you say there, for you to use a toilet, you must queue like you are going to buy a bread.
Yeah.
You don't, it's totally, it's not fair, man. It's not fair, man.
It's not fair.
No.
This is not a dignified life.
No,
and we're talking about 30 years, over 30 years after independence.
Just go to Lagosian and have a running stomach. Now, let me say, three houses, maybe there is something wrong at the same time, and they have a running stomach at the same time.
Yeah.
What happened to that system? You go to the toilet, you find a queue, you must wait for somebody to come out, you go in. Until when you're going to live like this, and you...
It's not only in Windhoek. Think about informal settlement in Rundu. Think about informal settlement here in Ondangwa. You know, think about in Walvis Bay. You understand? Eh? So,
yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, even these things of shack dwellers is still a big problem in Shack Dweller Federation.
Yeah.
The municipality not giving them land. And by the way, if you give, as you say there, you give these people this land, you give them to save them, they will do themselves, they can dig themselves, they can divide, you just came and divide us there. For us, you can take over. But my brother, for these companies, this system, to have land is a big problem. There was even an issue, you know.
Yeah.
You know, there are few locations which are they are there for a long, long time. Because of a reason thing is like now when the government took over from the white community, They were when the black community come in, say, okay, here we're gonna put a school. You know, they put some colors, municipality, some colors, they put red. Now, this red color, my brother, you know, the country is already moving forward. Now they will tell you, no, I'm gonna put up a school up. That's the school there, not the clinic there. My brother, now you care about this clinic. You don't care about these people who are dying with this kind of thing. Okay, we find out some systems to try to move forward. Now, just as somebody tell you, okay, go and give these people their title deeds is the issue. We almost fight in the municipality with these people.
Yeah.
No, guys, this is your house, man. you are here to save the people, but you talk to us like this is your house. No. Really, the president needs to stand up and see this kind of municipality we have in this country. What they are doing to because now what they do will affect the president. To say he's not doing his job. But the money is there. Why they don't even use that money? You saw last month, I think, the minister of James Sankwasa, he want to take some money back from the development money. You say, no, this money is there. They are not using the money. Why? My question is, why the money is not being utilized in the right system? People are still in poverty. You are here holding money. For what? Yeah. No, my brother, really, this issue of the houses, they need to create a system with those people who saw them the location to get a life. But and on the way, if you do so, you are already trying to motivate your economic, because If you give me a house with electricity and water, meaning that already I'm part of the economy because I'm paying the water and paying the electricity. I'm not using that for free. Yeah. I'm paying it by having this kind of thing. And in doing so, there's people who are so talented, my brother. They are talented. You go to location now.
Yeah.
You find people who they get the lines for the electricity. They are paying 1,000. And just for them to get there and so on.
But the thing is also, ne? That's the point you're making there, that, you know, if you don't give me a land and be able to provide services to me, I'm a cut off. I'm actually, you have a lot, thousands and thousands of people actually cut out. You cut off from you. You can't build them. You understand? You cannot build them, but they're using your infrastructure. you understand? You know? So when you have a communal tap, how many people actually uses that? But if you have individual now, if you provide that service to individual houses will now be able to pay the services. You understand?
Yes,
you will be able to build them, and that would also improve the your revenue.
Yes, but we don't have all of us to work for the government.
So
the only way the government can come up with a better system is to give me the land.
Yeah.
To give me my title deed for me to be part of this economy we are talking about.
Yeah.
But if the government doesn't think about this kind of systems to create a system for us to have land, my brother, forget about the economy to grow. Because if you get you get the water this year, you get maybe 2 million people are paying the water. So meaning like if you increase more 10 houses, you are increasing your economy.
Yeah.
And by doing so, you minimizing people running on the street because I can employ somebody. I can employ you, but I don't need for government. Use my idea. Come up with a maybe garage or come up with a sewing machines. I employ 2 people, 3 people. You know, I'm already part of the economy. But really, this issue of the house, really, we are totally getting sick now. I don't know what can be being done for people in the locations, especially the old locations. We want at least at the end of this year, something should be done there.
Yeah, it's actually, we need to learn how our political system work. Then we have to, you only have hurt somebody when you hurt them in their pocket, it's only when they can do something. It's like a company. Yeah. If you actually boycott, you know, if you go on strike, you will hurt their pocket. It's only when they can come on the table and discuss. So we have to find a way that would help, you know, the municipal pockets and things like that. So where they now forced to say, look, we need to sit down and do something, you know?
No, you know, what they want now maybe is like, I think this kind of also kind of, you know, I'm part B, I'm part C, also play a big role in our system. Because sometimes when you go to this guy, you have to ask him a simple question, my brother. It's like you are fighting, it's like you are knocking his door, it's like you don't belong to this world. You know, it's totally terrible. No.
Yeah.
If you go to their head offices, like in town, it's where you get a better answer.
Yeah.
So what's your problem? What's the problem there? Really, we want this kind of the house of the poor. We want them to have houses, my brother. We want anybody who are Namibian. I don't feel happy. Those people, they are Namibians. But when you find the older lady, my brother, now you are in the queue to go to use the toilet. Sometimes I cry. You are in the queue to go to use the toilet with the older person who are staying there for more than 20 years in the ghetto. No water, no electricity. Now this person doesn't have hope anymore in life. Just saying, okay, this is the same system. But until when you're going to have like this life? No,
All
right, man.
Thank you, my boss.
Thanks for coming through.
Muito obrigado.
All right. Okay. Yeah, we have 3 minutes. You can come through. I couldn't start the other topic. Yeah. 0833666. Take off that 3 minutes. I can give you an extra. I can borrow, not borrow, steal. I can steal some minutes from Tate France if you come through now. 0833666091. Okay, we're talking about congestion. One aspect is it's congestion. The report revealed that 60.4% of informal settlements are actually congested, overcrowded. You know, people packed in, no room to move at all, no room for growth, you know. So, and Windhoek is one of the highest number of congested informal settlement, you know, compare nationally. Yeah, so what actually that tells you is just that no council actually have a plan for these for this urban migration. Not any council really have a plan. What are the plans? They don't have a plans of this flux of people coming to town looking for employment. And Namibia is actually one of the have the highest rate of flux of people actually, you know, of urban migration when you compare with other country in the SADC. Okay,
you have 2 minutes. Good morning. You sound far.
Oh, that's a problem.
All right. Can okay, just go on.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, the house situation.
Yeah, today we can't hear you, man.
Is it?
Yeah. You're really, really, really deep. And there's nothing I can do on this side to up your voice a bit.
Okay. I'm sorry.
All right, then. Yeah, and that also bring us to the end of our episode today. You know, people are moving to the cities faster than any council can plan for them. Yeah. So, and if we look at Windhoek, population has nearly doubled when you look at from the last census that was done. You know, so they doubled just over, like from 2011, it was about over 235,000 people. Now it's estimated about over 500,000 people in Windhoek. And what has changed? What has changed in terms of infrastructure? So what has municipality done in terms of servicing the land? What have they done? In that period of years, nothing. Eh? Not much at all. Not much at all. Not at the pace of immigration. That's why I said there's no plan. All right. So yeah, please do make sure that you get hold of the report. It's a very, very, very. I would say, it's a starting point. I'm looking at that. It's not a crisis document. It's a starting point. Because it give us evidence. It give us evidence so that we can properly plan based on evidence. It looks at for years we have been actually operating blindly. Yeah? We have been operating. That's what tells you. It tells you that we have been operating blindly. Yeah? So I think this is a good report. And especially for lawmakers, this is a report that you should have on your table. Because that guides you, the policies that you're making. So you have been making policy blindly here. Yeah? So
Yeah, it's a very good report. I see it as a very, very, very good report. And thanks for NSA and the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development for really coming up with this initiative. Yeah, so, all right. Now, Asset, it's your turn. It's what are you going to do with information? So would it end up just on the shelf? And then the next thing you hear, another survey or another study done, you know, after 5 years or something like that. So let's see what our government is going to do. Let's see what private, you know, it's also an opportunity. I don't know why the private company don't see this as an opportunity, because there is an opportunity there. Eh? Maybe there's something that we're not getting to know what it is for not having private sector involved in this, especially in this sector. So, yeah. All right, 2 minutes past the hour of 10, and that brings us to, at the end of our episode for today. Let's do this again tomorrow. I'm going to handing you over now to Tate France, who's coming up with Kutha Mosha. There will be other programming coming your way throughout the day. Make sure that you tune in. And from me, tomorrow, I think we're still going to cover the De Beers and lab-grown diamonds, what it means for Namibia. So it's something that we can look at tomorrow as well, because it would have really impact on our economy. So we need to discuss it. All right. From me, Big Mike, until tomorrow, have a good day.